This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And I 100% has to be the jinn. There's no way about it.
Drake can also be seen doing the 666.
It's relating back to the days of Babylonia and magic. I used to look up to Denzel Washington.
Number one. Put God first.
There was this royal official I met one day. Yeah. And I remember I got called to go up in his mansion. I had no idea who he was. They wanted me to go to a private residence. Mm-hmm. I had no idea it was Kanye at all.
You're getting direct orders from Kanye himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
These people channeling the jinns, they answered their call to help them perform. Where I got to work at Magic Johnson's house.
Johnson, the basketball player?
Yeah. I was doing, he told me, don't miss Juma.
You were in the Hollywood Hills, you're around some of the elites, you got to see a lot of different things up there.
Yep. I don't believe someone who fears God would be in an industry like this.
Can you clearly say this is an industry of the devil?
100%.
Of Shaitan?
Shaitan, 1 billion percent.
If you're like me, you've been watching The Dean Show for now almost 20 years. Allah preserve our man, Eddie, and continue his work. Allah has opened for him a new door. We went from The Dean Show to The Dean Center, which is going to be in Florida. And I've been rooting for this project. I support it. I urge you to support it too. We know this brother and his work. He's got a track record that speaks for itself. This center is going to be successful, inshallah, as successful as the show is and all his other dawah works. Go to the website, support it, and we look forward to seeing more good news coming out of there.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to The Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs just like this one. Now we're going to be talking about some Hollywood stories. Unfortunately, you have many Muslims, even Christians, and some Jews who are trying to be stars. And we have our next guest who is hanging with the stars up in the Hollywood Hills, trying to be a star. And he was an events manager for Kanye West. He was the Kim Kardashians, people like Obama he's mingled with at the parties, and Kobe Bryant, the Steven Seagals, and many more. But now there's a flip side to that. What really goes on behind the scenes? That's what we're going to be talking about. Black magic, what? Astrology, all these things that should have you really thinking. For anybody who's still going to be after the end of this grasping to want to connect and be in this environment, you're going to want to watch this episode with my next guest on this exciting episode of The Dean Show.
We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon Him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Dean Show.
Asnaf, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, young brother?
Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure meeting you, Eddie.
Nice to meet you too. How you been?
Good. Alhamdulillah, I can't complain. Life's much better, alhamdulillah, because of our religion, Islam, calls us to what's good and forbids us to what's evil.
Now, you weren't always on this way that you're on now. You were like most young people. I was there myself. And you think that is what life is about, getting stardom, maybe getting a role in Hollywood, maybe becoming a musician, being with the stars, hanging with the stars. You think, you know, this is it. And you were there. Yeah. You were in the line. You were in this environment with people such as like Kanye West, the Kim Kardashians, and a whole array of others. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. So like anyone else in the West here in America, especially when you're young, you know, a lot of us want to be known or in some way feel important in the world. And when it comes to the West, you know, being here, like just wanting to, for us, like I came from Bosnia originally, so I was born in Germany, and when my parents immigrated here, they had a tough life here.
Yeah.
So as a son, I wanted to be able to help them and give back and, you know, help them in that regard. So when I came here, I always looked up to, you know, like stuff in TV, being known because they make a lot of money. And, you know, in my household, it was about being successful financially. That was really what it is. And a lot of households like that too. So when I went to school, I never thought about being in entertainment or anything like this. It wasn't something that was on my mind at all whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to do something that would impact people in the world. I just don't know how. And I came across it just by working at a store at Abercrombie & Fitch, and it just kind of opened doors from there.
Mm-hmm. Someone took your picture?
Yeah, so it was one of the managers there. And I used to, you know, like get, even though I don't like talking about stuff like that, like, I mean, people used to compliment me and stuff like this, but I just didn't want to be known for whatever way I look or whatever. I always wanted to be known for my intellect or practicality or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they took my picture, and I was just trying to make ends meet for college.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they just kind of sent it to HR, and they said, you have a good look, and we'd want to have you on the walls, but you have to compete with other people such as yourself.
Which HR, human resources?
Yeah. Because yeah. Abercrombie at that time, before the CEO stepped down, it used to be, it used to look like a club in there. Like when you go to Abercrombie, the obnoxious cologne that would be smelling all the way outside.
Yeah.
You know, so they sent it to HR, and next thing you know, they get feedback, and then they tell me I'm top 10 in the nation, and then I lose to a guy in New York. And that kind of, they planted a seed in my mind, like, you know, you can make income off of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I have no idea about that, but I'm not interested. But they were like, no, you should do it. You should take advantage because you're young, and it's not a lot of people get to have that opportunity, you know?
At that time, there's no dean in your life. You're pretty much...
No. Alhamdulillah, my father, like, instilled, like, despite whatever I was doing, he told me, don't miss Juma.
So that was the one thing you knew?
Yeah.
Don't miss Juma.
Yeah. And alhamdulillah, I would have to say, Allah knows best. That's what probably brought me back to the deen.
Yeah. Just holding on to you. So you were holding on to Juma, or you were kind of making it? What?
No, I was holding on to
you
it.
Held on to that.
No matter what I did, I always went to Juma, despite whatever sins I was committing or anything, because I went to benefit from the reminders.
We often heard this term, Juma Muslim. So at least being a Juma Muslim, it was the catalyst that kicked it off that you were now full time.
Yeah, yeah. Because one day, believe it or not, any brothers or sisters who's watching that, if you're one of those Juma Muslims, if you're one of those Juma Muslims, there's going to be a message one day that will strike you at home. Like it will penetrate your heart.
Yeah,
it happened to me one day.
Don't let go of Juma, at least anything you have from the deen. Hold on tight.
And Allah likes the small, consistent deeds that you do that are quality. You know?
So, all right. So now you're. This is what your father left you with, and now what happens next? Now you are getting from your professor. Also, you're getting encouraged to go down to the Hollywood Lane, Hollywood Hills, to go down. So wait, Hollywood. That's the Strip, right?
Basically, yeah. Kind of like what you would say is down.
But Hollywood Hills. That's a whole different.
That's like where the actors and entertainment.
Not everybody can get up there, huh?
I mean, they're private houses.
Yeah.
They're like, if you've ever been to Bel Air, anything like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the same thing, kind of.
Okay, Bel Air reminds me of, what's that?
Rodeo Drive.
There's that show back in the day, the Bel Air.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop, but then you have, I forgot all these actors' names. There was that one, what's his name? His wife smacked him. Or no, he got smacked because of his wife, Chris Rock. Will Smith.
Yeah,
remember he had a program.
I remember what happened in the.
Okay. This was before your time. Yeah, he had a program. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead. Yeah, but it was something in the Bel Air. Anyways, go ahead. So now you end up in Hollywood. You actually moved down there.
So I made a dua to Allah. I had sincerity in my heart to where I was like, Allah, I want to go down there. And I said, if you put me down there, I will come closer to the deen. Like, I will make the effort to now start praying, start learning some surahs. And I was sincere about it. And then next thing you know, Allah put me in a place called San Pedro, which is 35 miles away from Hollywood.
this is very interesting, because you would think now, okay, someone who's not practicing the deen at all is going to end up in a situation like that. But you're actually Jummah Muslim, and you're making du'a.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm taking bits and pieces, I guess, you know, because I didn't really get shed upon the light, you know, in terms of...
Very interesting.
I knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the master.
Yes.
He's all-knowing, all-wise, and he can open doors. Yeah. And I always believed that.
For the not-yet Muslim audience out there, Allah simply means the creator, God Almighty. Jesus would refer to God as Allah in Aramaic. So go ahead when we say Allah.
Yeah, so Allah, despite of it, I sincerely made that intention in dua, and one of my good Bosnian friends, he was a professional soccer player, so mm-hmm. he went to be playing for a team called Leipzig in Germany. Yeah. He said, take my spot in San Pedro for $300. And I said, this is my only chance to go to LA.
And where?
San Pedro. Pedro, yeah.
What is that? Right next, that's in LA?
35 miles away.
35 it's, miles. Yeah, okay.
from Hollywood in LA.
So that's his spot. That's like his room there?
Yeah, so he let me stay there. And I took that spot and I fulfilled the promise I made with Allah. I said, I'm going to start praying and I'm going to start learning.
Yeah.
And then I understood, if I wanted to make it in that career industry, it's not the people who are going to dictate it for me. It's Allah, our creator, our sustainer. He will be the one to open that door for me if it's destined for me.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I just kind of started taking bits of the deen whenever I could. But then I started focusing too much on the career aspect, and it was just a battle inside of my heart.
It's not a nice, healthy environment that's nourishing to the deen, is it?
No, especially when you have, you know, it says in the Quran, like, who you're friends with, like, you're upon the religion of who your friends are.
Yes, that's, so
it was very difficult, you know, for me to say one thing, practice one thing, but then you have others around you saying, you know, like, that's strange. Like, what are you doing? You know?
Uh-huh.
So it was that constant battle. But I understood deep down in myself that Allah can open those doors for me.
So you knew, did you know this hadith before about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talking about a person is on the way of his friends and or no?
No, but I kind of got the idea of from like secular stuff that we learned in school.
Yeah. Oh, that's also no. Like, yeah, birds of a feather
flock
together.
If you're around with smokers, you're going to end up being a smoker.
Exactly, yeah.
So on and so forth.
So you didn't have any friends. You've met friends down there.
Yeah, I met those friends, but unfortunately they had good qualities in some aspect, but then at the end of the day, they were doing things that were, you know, against the religion. Like, you know,
were they Muslims also or no?
They actually were not.
No?
They were not.
Were they people who were, people who would normally, like, where would they remind you? They would want to just party?
Typical college guys.
Okay.
You know, but
so
they want to
chase girls, party, hang out.
But they were athletes, too.
They were athletes,
so, you know, it was that kind of mixed environment.
So what was the number one priority on their minds, usually, the friends you were hanging out with?
I mean, most of them is just getting their degree and using their athletes, you know, athletic skills to pay for their schooling and everything, and they just wanted to have their careers.
But what else? Hooking up with girls and
work. I mean, that was happening. It's, believe it or not, in that house.
That's probably the main. Okay, school and then party, hook up, drink, this, that. And that's what these guys want to do, right?
That's what they want to do.
Okay, so you can see now. People paint the picture. That's the kind of friends you're gonna be with.
Yeah.
That's what's gonna.
Yeah. And then they would encourage me. Like, they would look at me sometimes strange. Like, why don't you have a girl? Why don't you have this? Like,
yeah,
you know, why aren't you doing stuff like this? Like, you know. And I understood. I was like, I don't want to do that stuff. First of all, it's because it's fahsha, which is in Arabic, like dirty, filthy. I didn't want to do those things. I was more career focused.
Yeah.
I understood. I'm just using this as a means to stay here, you know, bunk and eat and slumber, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But I got other plans.
So they were already there.
They were.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so then now what happens? Now we mentioned some names. We mentioned Kanye West. You mentioned the Kardashians, and this is something that the whole culture is built around some of these people, especially the Kardashians, Kim Kardashian and the like.
Yeah.
They've got reality shows, and women are like tuned in and others, and naturally you're going to mimic the people that you constantly admire and watch. So unfortunately, a lot of Muslims also, it's a shame, and even Christians and God-fearing Muslims are, I'm sorry, I mean, even Christians and others who would say they're God-fearing and they might be another religion are glued to the screen watching these people. And What were you seeing? What kind of environment, or how did you get to a point where you're actually hanging around with people like this?
It started with modeling, because when I was modeling, a lot of models, what they do is, we're not allowed to have full-time jobs, really, because we have to be available for castings on auditions, right?
Yeah.
So typically, they'll do bar back work, bartending, serving, event staff, brand ambassador work. So it creates a leniency of, like, you picking your jobs, and they understand that you're trying to make it in showbiz, these employers, so they're very flexible with you. So these jobs, you would work pretty much red carpets, event, pretty much anything for weddings, family gatherings, fun times, whatever they describe it as.
Yes.
Because we wouldn't know about the event until pretty much we were there, and we wouldn't know who would come, right? And just like any showbiz people, when they make it to that stardom, they just use their wealth and enjoy it, so on and so forth, right? So I would work these places, and I had this very good staff productions team that I would work for, and he always put me on high-profile jobs because he knew that I was professional. I was very confidential about what I would do, and I would just go in and get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
So they had me pretty much standing around or serving or busing, these type of jobs. At some point, I climbed the ranks and they started hiring me for, like, very high profile jobs, where I got to work at Magic Johnson's house for, like, the Hillary Clinton campaign. So I got to see all those individuals.
Magic Johnson, the basketball player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for an event at one time. I did events for pretty much Kanye, where they had me in their house, in the private house that's not on TV, you know, somewhere in Hidden Hills. They also had me work
with... So if Kanye saw you right now, he'd be like, oh, I remember this guy.
Probably won't, but I mean...
Why? Because he had a lot of staff, a lot of people. Yeah. Okay, so he had a lot of people coming in and out.
And really, truthfully, sometimes a job, it feel like it's degrading to you, because what are you really there for? You're just a body, like a vessel.
I see.
You know, you're just... They don't look at you as anything, or... thank you or anything like that. It's just very it's degrading, and a lot of things in the modeling industry, like, agents don't want you to be known or have your picture taken in these type of events because it ruins your image, quote unquote, right? So but we had to make an ends meet, so it's just kind of like, what do you do? What can you do? I can't have a full-time job, I can't do this. But
did you feel this the separation between the what you would call some of these elites and then who they had working for them? Was there this equal respect and whatnot, or they were like, you felt like they lesser. Felt lesser. You were below them.
100% lesser.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%. Depending on the client you had, for sure. Mm-hmm. If it was someone high profile, they don't really care.
Yeah.
They don't really care about you. They just bring me my plate. Bring me this. Bring me that. Make sure this is kosher. Make sure this is whatever special accommodation they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, can you go over there? Or can you do this? You have some, they'll thank you, but it's not really, they don't know who you are. They won't know your name, your first name, nothing. You're just a body there.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, so it kind of gets to your head.
Uh-huh.
And personally, like, being working there,
yeah,
you just feel degraded. Like, you can't talk to these people. They're like these special people that you are just insignificant.
Yeah.
That's how it feels like. That's, I'm telling you how I felt like there, yeah, for sure. Because it's like, we have to be around these people. And then inside, you're also like, internally, like, please notice me. At least, like, you know, help me. Or, you know, maybe they'll be like, you have a great attitude, or you have this. Maybe I can help you with get connected.
I can see where someone young, someone who's naive, and it could be a woman, man, young man, young woman, and they go into this environment and they're like you. They're trying to... they think, okay, this can be a means for me to make some money, and maybe I could do some good here, something, whatnot. And then you're in this environment, and now someone like that who's looking at you like, you know, you're pretty much a slave there. Yeah. You do what I say, etc. And then, but then when they finally give you some attention, they can ask you to do some things, and now it's like make it or break it. And I can see where they can take you down a path that you normally wouldn't go, but it's set up, environment set up like that because they're kind of pulling the shots, the strings.
Definitely.
And they can make or break your career that you work so hard for. You've gotten there finally, and you're mixing with people who people only see on TV, and they're right across from you. Now this person takes the girl, the young lady, says, come with me, Kobe or whoever. And they've, you know, some of these stars, they take a young lady and they say, come over here, I'm gonna make you a star, do this, that, and for me and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'll introduce you to Steven over there, Spielberg. I'll get you in the film.
Yeah.
Did you see stuff like this?
Yes, definitely. There was times you would see it with some of the other male models. Like, you know, they'll be, you know, if the guest is there, someone that they know, they'll end up sleeping with the person or whatever, you know. And there was times, like, also in the, like, in the nightlife scene, you'd have these big directors there, you know, they're all in their little private tables, and then you're around these people, you know, like, here, let me introduce you to this, or a girl brings you in to that group, so on and so forth. Because Hollywood is all about networking. It's about who you know.
Yeah.
And that's why people are very active in the nightlife scene and in those type of events and jobs, because it's a good way to exchange contact information. And, you know, hey, I can help you here. You know, let's get you set up here, or so on and so forth. So that's why we did a lot of those event jobs, because we had that hope of there'll be that one person that's going to come up to me like, I like your look, or I like the way you are. You're a very nice person. Like, you should come work for me or something. And then it just gets close. You get close to them, and then they realize, oh, you're trying to make it in this industry. Maybe you should go take some classes here, or let's see your resume. What do we need to work on? Or if it's modeling, let me get you connected with the right agents.
But it, at the end, you were actually given the hard facts that it's not about that, huh? There's a distinction between someone who, let's say, an athlete, and then somebody who's in entertainment, and situations are, these circumstances are not the same. So someone was telling you the hard facts that you're going to have to, we control, how was that, how did that play out?
There was this royal official I met one day,
yeah.
And I remember I got called to go up in his mansion, and I had no idea who he was, and the agent I had, he was setting me up to meet him, because of course someone like that who's a royal official has the power and strings, quote unquote, to help you in any sector. So when I met this person, it was very interesting. First of all, I know better not to go somewhere without notice, but I trusted my agent so much that I honestly thought he would help me, right? When I'm there, I meet that individual, and the individual is like, oh, come here, brother, like let's talk, like, let's, I'd love to meet you, it's amazing, let's go out for lunch. He takes me out on a lunch in the fancy car, Rolls Royce, and when he takes me to lunch, you know, he pays for my meal, which is like a $90 plate for a hamburger, you know, all these things, and I do some photo shoots, you know, with the individual. With the agent as well, right? He's taking my photos, because as a model, you want to always update your book and catalog, so that way other consumers and clients, when they see you, you're a marketable product for their business. Like, oh, you can wear our clothes. Like, you'll look great in Giorgio Armani. You got that Giorgio Armani look, or Versace, or whatever it may be, right? So I took some photos, and it was like for American Eagle looking type of stuff for my book that they wanted me to have in my book, to, because I had a commercial look. So I steered towards more commercial runway and high fashion modeling because of my height, and I was slender in build, and so on and so forth. So this royal official, he would explain to me about like the things that he would do, for example, like sodomy stuff and all types of other things that are against, of course, the religion and morality. Any sane human being, you know, from a moral perspective. Right, so it was just very confusing to me how he'd be mentioning these things to me. And then one day, like pretty much when we got back later, we had this conversation, and it shifted very, very quickly. Like it just turned dark to a point where I was just kind of like, all right, this is uncomfortable now. Because he asked me the question, like, do you know what it takes to be in this industry?
Yeah.
Do you know what you have to do? I said, hard work and talent. Isn't that the case? I mean, all these people that are on TV and the stars, this is hard work and talent. This is years of perfecting their craft, so on. He's like, no, it's not just about that. He's like, it is we who put you on the limelight. You're a nobody. We pull the strings to make it happen for you. But what do we get out of that? Besides making money. It's all about power, control.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you are nothing when you're in entertainment. You're not known. You're not in the limelight. Athletes, on the other hand, their talent is shown. You can't hide that. If they're pretty much talented, whether it be in basketball, soccer, hockey, or whatever it may be, that's shown. But you as an entertainment individual, your acting chops or music, your, you know, anything, what it may be, unknown. Until you meet the right person, they produce whatever they have to produce, whether it be a song or they put you on the movie, then you are somebody. So he said, in order to do this, you gotta do stuff for us. And he told me that very coldly. And I didn't want to accept that fact. I didn't want to accept it. I said, no, I don't believe that. I'm sure there's someone out there in the industry that can help me in the right means, just from my hard work and talent. But then I asked myself, really, what is hard work and talent in that industry? Where you have to be a persona on TV that you're really not. You got to fake it. You got to do things that are out of context of character, that may not be aligned with your values or morality. That's out of the window, because you're an actor. You just, you're acting as an instrument, and you got to use it as an instrument.
So now it's the compromise.
Yeah.
If you want to, it's the deal with the devil.
Yep. Just like everybody in the West says it, the deal right. with the devil.
Do you think majority of the famous A-star actors had to at some point make a deal with the devil?
I would say boldly, and this is boldly.
Because you're someone now who had an inside look. You were in the Hollywood Hills. You're around some of the elites. You got to see a lot of different things up there.
Yep. I don't believe someone who fears God would be in an industry like this. From the disgustingness, the immorality, the push on secularism, occultism, it's really a demonic industry. I don't believe someone who fears God can be in an industry such as that. It's not possible, even despite the scriptures that you follow. There are things that are forbidden for you to do, and you can't be in an industry like this where they're calling you to do forbidden things. You must do it. You must, if you want to be a quote-unquote great actor.
Sometimes you see like Denzel Washington and others who are Christian, and they'll try to talk about, you had Mel Gibson also, he's a practicing Catholic, I think. Mm-hmm. How and they're speaking up against it. I know Mel Gibson, they went after him, I think. Mm-hmm. He's done some stuff. But what do you think when you see people like Denzel Washington and others who try to mention like God?
He was in the industry, like no one would see him. He would not be in events. He's a hardworking guy, and I looked at him as a God-fearing person.
Yeah.
But it dawned upon me, when you look at these movies and you watch these things, it's like, if you fear God, how can you be doing things that go against it? Whether it's showing pretty much sexual things on TV, the hookup culture, so on and so forth. It's contrary to fearing God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it baffled me. It's like, it's, you can't put that label that you truly fear God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. You're doing the opposite of it.
You mentioned, we also see Kanye West. You see him, and he's making songs about Jesus. What was that song he had about Jesus? I forgot what it was. Sing or Ride with Jesus, whatever the case. Mm-hmm. But anyways, you actually got to see some things deeper. He was actually trying to make a church of his own?
Yeah, so...
What was it called, the Kanye Church?
I have no idea what the official name would be for it, but yeah. I think it was out on the news in Wisconsin or something back then. But I remember one morning I got called to work at like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And when I worked at 5 a.m., they wanted me to go to a private residence. Mm-hmm. I had no idea it was Kanye at all. I had no idea. When I get there, it's in the mountains in the middle of nowhere in Hidden Hills. So I get up there, and there's just rocks, like big boulders, like the size of your desk.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just with big speakers. So I said, okay, maybe this is a little shindig or anything like that. I don't know, ceremony. But when I got there, it was interesting because they made us wear these very like raggedy, quote-unquote, clothes. Like they would just look like they were just shawls, like just rags, honestly.
Yeah.
And they made certain men wear certain colors and made women wear certain stuff. Like, for example, long hair extensions all the way to the floor. And they had to wear those certain clothes as well. So there was a theme going on with it. And so I'm like asking myself, what is it? What's going on here? What is this really? And then only a few guests were allowed to come. And it was high profile people, like in the industry, like Katy Perry and so on and so forth. And I remember being there, and Mr. Kanye wanted me to pick up the big boulder that's like maybe 1,000 pounds.
Did Kanye West, he told you himself, or he had someone else tell you?
All of us that were there, the event people.
Oh, so Kanye's telling you, all and the, he's telling you
this
himself.
Needs to be moved a certain inch degree.
You're getting direct orders from Kanye himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're looking at each other like, is this guy okay? Like he's making, he wants us to move 1,000 pounds. It's like, it's not humanly possible for us. Yeah. Like a bulldozer or something.
Yeah.
Just to move it an inch. I don't understand the logic in that, but anyway. So he asked us to move that, and we didn't, obviously. And then when the event starts, he's blaring loud music, and it's interesting because he starts singing about Jesus Christ, peace be upon him.
So Kanye's singing about Jesus now.
Yeah, but he's mixing it with his album.
Is that that song that he made about Jesus?
I wish I knew. I don't really know. But to me, this is blasphemy.
Yeah.
You're defamating a noble prophet in the religion of Islam.
You knew that much now.
I knew because I knew better than to make fun of any prophet.
Yeah.
You know? That's when I started to have basic fundamentals of Islam. Like all the messages came with one message.
Yeah.
You know, which is pretty much worship Allah, God alone, and don't associate any partners with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's also in the Bible. It says, thou shalt not worship idols and statues.
Yes.
So when I was looking at Kanye and the whole situation there, this is like paganism at its finest. Because it's like, to me, it looked like he was trying to be a prophet or something. A'udhu billah.
Kanye West.
Yeah. Like he was
trying to be a prophet.
May God forbid, but this is, it was just interesting because he's inventing his own religion. As we know, in the religion of Islam and worldwide, in historical facts, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the seal of all prophets.
Yeah.
There's no one to come after. The messages are done. Besides Jesus, peace be upon him, is returning, which he'll uphold the laws of Islam and so on and so forth.
And then so this event, this was during the day, and it started
early hours, 5-6 a.m.
So how long did this last?
It's like an hour. It's just kind of like your typical church sermon, but he did it in his own way, and he was the
priest. So like you go to church on Sundays now. Yeah. You go to Kanye's church on Sunday.
Yeah. Even though
he's like the person giving the sermon, pastor and prophet.
Yeah, basically. And it's like, I don't understand. And how are you mixing your own human words that are faulty, and you're missing it?
Was there a lot of people there?
There was a good amount of people.
Yeah.
Whether it be the friends of those celebrities, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know there was a lot of celebrities there that were high profile.
Yeah.
Like Justin Bieber was supposed to be there. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
Katy Perry was. I wasn't too brushed up on.
Have you ever met Justin Bieber at another event? Or
I've only seen him, unfortunately, at nightlife when I used to go clubbing. I've only seen him there.
Yeah.
But I never knew him on a personal scale.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
The thing to me that dawned upon me was that event, it just, I was like, how can these people like make fun of, like it indirectly it's making fun of the religion, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because how is this calling upon righteousness? Yeah. How is this being a good human being and worshiping the Creator and Creator alone? This is opposite of it.
I mentioned when I opened up the program some other things to it that I want to get into, and I want to get you reminded me of when you mentioned black magic and some of the other things that you were seeing. I did something not too long ago, and it mentioned Justin Bieber, Drake, and many of these symbols and whatnot, and had to revolve around music and the industry. And so I'm going to have you watch something and let me know if this sets off any kind of events that you can remember, anything that goes with this and your reaction to it.
Videos and concerts. If you have not, then you're not alone. Most of the people fail to see a deeper connection between these artists and the satanic occult groups. One cannot but ask himself these questions. What are these symbols that reoccur everywhere in the entertainment business? Why are these symbols used by artists over and over again? Where do these symbols come from? What is the meaning behind these symbols? If you don't have an answer to these questions, then you have no right to dismiss this case. If you analyze Satanism, you will come to the conclusion that it's very prevalent in the music industry. Satanism, or black magic, is based on the worship of Satan and neglecting the worship of God. Satanism reached its peak in Egypt, at the time of the pharaohs. This is why a lot of the symbolism can be traced back to this civilization. You will see a lot of Egyptian symbolism in the music industry. Here's an example of the owl that the Egyptians used. Does it look familiar to you? Yes, this same owl is used by the rap artist Drake. Drake can also be seen doing the 666 hand gesture. Each finger represents the number 6, making it the sign of the devil, with one eye. Here's the same owl on a satanic ceremony.
Have you ever heard of Aleister Crowley?
Yeah, he's the one that made the satanic church. He's like the leader of it, right?
You've heard of him? Yeah,
I've heard of him.
This is Aleister Crowley, dressed as an Egyptian pharaoh. He is considered as the most notorious satanic magician of the 20th century. He identifies himself as the prophet entrusted with guiding humanity into the age of Horus in the early 20th century. Horus is yet again an Egyptian god.
This is what many of these artists, they go back to a lot of his teachings that opens up a whole different world of dealing with black magic, the jinn, and that whole doest thou will slogan with Jay-Z.
Here you see rap artist Jay-Z wearing the quote, "Do what thou wilt," which comes from the philosophy of Dilemma, which was developed by Aleister Crowley. This religion includes a number of deities primarily adapted from ancient Egypt.
I think Beyonce too, she says when she performs, like she has Sasha or somebody come, when, you know.
They're expecting Sasha. You know, she can do things that I cannot do when I'm in rehearsal. I mean, I can try, but then it just doesn't happen. I can sing notes and sing strong and do all these things that when I'm just by myself, I can't do. And I remember right before I performed, I raised my hands up, and it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me, and I knew that was going to be my coming out night.
So what do you think when you see this with these symbols and being around these entertainers and these elites and whatnot?
SubhanAllah, when I saw that, it's exactly what I was going to tell you. It's like there's a lot of Egyptology in it. And the symbolism is real, especially in music videos. It's everywhere. It's not all coincidence, mere coincidence. The checkerboard, you know, the one eye pyramid, all these things you see that symbolism being placed purposefully. It's not by chance or coincidence. You know, so it's relating back to the days of Babylonia and magic, you know. And over there, that symbology immediately reminded me of the music videos I've seen, whether it be the clothes. And really today, when you look at celebs, it's idol worship. People look at these people and they start crying, they start feeling like there's someone that's gonna help them. All these things, it's crazy to me.
This is a very important point. I want people to, because you might be unintentionally or indirectly or somehow just doing it. You're worshiping these people and your actions are showing it.
Yeah.
You're more concerned about fitting in and imitating someone like some of these people we mentioned rather than your creator.
Yeah, by their demeanor, by their clothes.
Attitude, their clothes, fashion.
Their music, which is in a sense like, essentially I would even say boldly, it's like a scripture for some people.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sing what they want to do to females, what they want to do to males, orchestrating how you should behave in society, what you should treat like this. Like this is all... Human beings are designed to follow. Like, we're dependent beings. So it's either you depend on the creator or you depend on the creation.
Yeah.
And obviously the loss is at the creation.
This is around this documentary, this here is primarily more about the music and the industry and how it's connected to these symbols, black magic and whatnot. How much did you see that played a role in corrupting people, corrupting their hearts, their connection with their creator, this music industry, and Hollywood together?
Well, it devoids the heart. It really does. Because when you hear the words of, like, anyone listening to this right now, go back home. If, you know, whether you're a non-Muslim or Muslim and you're still falling into music, have you sat down and read the actual lyrics of the music?
Mm-hmm.
It calls to filthy things,
mm-hmm.
dirty name talking, what someone did, or if they're going to kill someone, or, mm-hmm. you know, what drugs I'm taking. In this is the stuff we listen to for enjoyment, unfortunately, today. This is what people listen to. It's a message, essentially. And whether or not music takes that effect to you, where you start acting like that, you behave like that, it's kind of like, in a sense, programming you.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's why I despise music a lot. And interestingly enough, you brought a good point. I remember seeing individuals who create music, they were always under some substance, whether it be alcohol, whether it be marijuana, whether it be ecstasy, whether it be any other drug. They needed that to get loose, to get in their creative artistry mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that tells you enough. If the words that they're spewing and writing and singing about these things and creating these things,
yeah.
it started off from something that wasn't good, and it will never be good. It's yeah. truly just hearsay, folk.
I want to get into this next clip, and because there's a term you mentioned that's mentioned here, and see if this brings back any memories.
It is not uncommon for Satanists to develop multiple personalities, because their bodies get possessed by these demons and help them perform.
Channeling, the act or practice of serving as a medium through which a spirit purportedly communicates with living persons. That's the definition of channeling. A lot of these actors believe in channeling, so they actually invoke spirits.
I think why you're my role model has to do with the way you relate to vanity. We're lying in bed and we're rehearsing the astronaut Garrett Reed love scene. And then we launched into the first take and two voices came out of you. Do you remember this? Two voices, and they were simultaneous words, but they were two levels of sound.
Cheryl, I'm many different people. I said, no, Jack, you're channeling.
Two tones coming out, two voices at the same time. That's clear. They do what's called method acting, where they invoke. Crowley said the quickest way to invoke a spirit is through acting. So they do a method technique and they stay in character for the entire film. Jack Nicholson in some films scared people because he would play psychopaths. And he would stay in character even when the filming wasn't being filmed. And it was like he was possessed, because that's what they do. Heath Ledger, who played the Joker, and that had previously been played by Jack Nicholson, when he was killed, they told Jack Nicholson and asked him what he thought. He said, I warned him about that role. That's what he had to say.
Channeling. You had another name for it, the SIG, the Stan... Sanford Meyer technique.
Yeah, so a lot of the actors, they had techniques that it would either be the, as we know, method acting is like living the actual role. Like, so for example, I'll go out, if I'm doing a homeless role, I will live like a homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
I will eat like a homeless person. I will embody that character completely.
Yeah.
As if I really am that homeless person. And that pretty much destroys your sanity in terms of your personal character, because now you're trying to be something you're not, right? Yeah. Then there's the Sanford Meisner technique, which is the technique I studied, which is acting is living truthfully under the imaginary circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So channeling, that came about later in the second portion of that technique, because you were required to have a real circumstance, right? Where, for example, I love my cat, and you have to think of something that is a dire situation, and there's a press of time and urgency which urges you to pretty much emotionally react. And you'd have to come up with an imaginary circumstance. So for example, in this case, it'd be a script.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a script because you have to embody that character, be that person. So you incorporate something real with something that's fake. And I remember I'd have to go in the back and it'd be a dark room and you just sit there and you just simmer in your emotions to let it trigger you, like really affect you. Believing what's going to happen to you is really going to happen to you. And subhanAllah, in a sense, it made me realize that I would do things I couldn't, like, I was aware of it, but there was things like I just emotionally was like, how did this come out of me? How did I do this? So it, channeling, I 100% that's a big art that's required in acting for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people, I mean, when they do big performances like this, people look at it, it's like, how are you able to do that? You know? And I 100% has to be the jinn. There's no way about it. Like, it's,
so you would substantiate that this is some, they're opening up a door now to the unseen and this connection with the unseen world of the jinn?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I mean, it's like Beyonce said, she has her character Sasha. I feel like something entered her and just does her performance.
Yeah.
You know? And which brings me to a good point now that I think about it. Why do people in the entertainment industry, they don't use their real names? They always have like a alias name or something else.
Yeah.
Right? You're being something you're not. And these people channeling the jinns, they answer their call to help them perform,
mm-hmm,
in exchange for whatever they have to do.
Yeah. Another thing that you were sharing with me is the elites who are on top of things, who would normally, you think they subscribe to some religion, but they're void of religion, but they're the people who would be running the program, some of these elites. And why did you feel that this was pretty much this certain group of people that were in charge of the movies, the industry? What made you come to that conclusion?
Well, when I would work these high profile events, it dawned upon me a pattern that a lot of them were pro Zionism. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even boldly say maybe all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that they run that industry.
Yeah.
They would send funds to the, you know, illegally occupied Palestine.
Yeah.
You know? And they were always so pro their homeland and ethnicity that it just, I was like, why? Like, but then it dawned upon me as well that Hollywood started from the Zionists. And if you look around the world, Hollywood is the central broadcast center of the world. Everybody wants to follow the stars, follow, you know, the dreams, the land of hope, and so on and so forth. So when I work for these people, you could feel a strong presence of, we care only for our people, and we're in charge.
Were these people who are, would you say, following the example of Moses?
No.
Religious people?
No.
No?
No, considering... if they were following Moses, peace be upon him, and all the other prophets according to their scripture, why are they producing movies that are immorality at its finest? It wouldn't make sense, a God-fearing person, to put immorality and broadcast it, calling to evil. So these people, either they hide under the guise of the religion, you know, using the religion to their means,
yeah,
or they're wolves in sheep's clothing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. And these people, you know, unfortunately, they shift society gradually. Like, if you look at how men and women behaved only 100 years ago, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Versus today. You know, with the way the woman used to dress, where the men used to be. Hollywood shifts the society to follow these, like, you should be like this. This is the normal. This is the norm. This is the norm. Don't be strange. Don't be weird. Be like us. Be like us. And Hollywood doing that there, like, it's secularism at its finest.
Is this pretty much a consensus, like, of people who work in the industry? They know, is this just common knowledge? Is this known? This is what you observe, what you see? Is this something that...
Well, like the whole, like, Weinstein situation, Harvey Weinstein, you know, all those individuals. This is known. This is, like, known in the industry. But people,
he was another person who was a follower of the founder of this movement, the Theodor, yeah, Herzl. He was saying he was a part of, yes, this clique.
Yeah, yeah. These, yeah, people, they operate.
Was Harvey Weinstein, was he when you were in this industry back in the day, was he someone, his court case and everything, his scandal didn't come out yet. So was he someone that you ever saw? Did you ever see him? Or you've heard of him?
Alhamdulillah, I've heard of him, but yeah. I never saw him. I'm glad
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't.
But you heard of him? He was like the top guy? Like that was the person to know?
Yeah. Yeah. Any director, essentially, if you get to know a director,
yeah,
and you just get the chance to show your acting, or, you know, when you do these auditions, you'll
see. He was a director.
Yeah.
So that's like who you want to be around.
Yeah. The big star. Like he's the one who sees the talent and he'll know. All it takes is one big like movie or show or anything like that to really start your career.
So he's the one that can make it happen.
Him and many others. And they all operate in the same.
Do you think since they got rid of him, where's he's in jail now or what's going on?
To be honest, I don't know I don't watch TV anymore. Yeah. I don't want to support any of these people. You're talking to someone who pretty much for 4 years, my homework was to watch Netflix and watch movies because this is the industry I was going to be in. So me watching it indirectly, I'm supporting these people and I don't want to be a part of that.
Nice. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. So now you go and you actually had your wife also.
Yeah.
She was someone who was kind of in that same industry.
Yeah, but she was more famous than I was.
Even more famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had like a million subscribers on
So we're YouTube. Talking about black magic in Hollywood, and it's something hopefully after people listen to some of these stories, anyone, if it's a Muslim, Christian, you know, Jew, whoever is out there and has any kind of moral compass and says they believe in God or whatnot, can you clearly say this is an industry of the devil?
100%.
Of
Shaitan, 1,000,000,000%.
Okay, so you shouldn't even have any kind of. You were fortunate enough that you were guided out of it.
Yeah,
but now we had more situations where people making pacts with the devil, selling their soul, and you shared some story that happened with Michael Jackson's grave and the manager of Tyga. So the manager of Tyga, and Tyga is that a rapper or?
He's a rapper. Yeah.
Yeah, so his manager tried to recruit
my wife basically to expand her business.
She really wasn't practicing that at that time.
No, we weren't even married at that time.
Yeah.
I didn't know of her. Like, Allah put us at a perfect time when we both wanted to change and get out of the industry. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was at that time she was pursuing for her business to expand, for her makeup, so on and so forth. And that manager, before he became the manager of Tyga, essentially reached out to her because he had the connects to basically expand her business. He said, okay, come to LA. I would love to meet you. Let's talk business. So my wife at the time flew there, got flown out, sat down, had pretty much dinner with him. And essentially, he would just start asking very weird questions. Okay. He would be asking like, okay, man, you know, we really want to help you. Like, we really want to help you, but the spirits, they're just not, they're telling me, like, we want to get to you and help you, but there's just a wall. There's this barrier, like, we can't really get to you. And so my wife was like, what does this have to do with the business meeting? And she was like, what does this mean? Like, what are you talking about, spirits? How did this go from talking business to now spirits, spirituality? It's like, well, man, you know, this is how it works. Like, this is how it works. They help you. So what happens, my wife's just like, okay, uncomfortable about the situation. So she's like, okay, let's just carry on with the tour, showing them the tour of Hollywood. So they go to the Hollywood Cemetery, and apparently Michael Jackson is buried there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether I know if that's true or not, Allahu Alam, God knows best. And the next thing he asks her is like, I would need you to submit and prostrate to this grave. Just put your head down out of respect to Michael Jackson. Just prostrate to him. And my wife knows in the religion of Islam, we're not allowed to bow down to anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
She had that because her background, family's Muslim.
Yeah.
So she had, just like you had the Jummah implanted by your father, she had this implanted that we only prostrate to the Creator of heavens and earth, God Almighty Allah. That's it.
Yep. Qul huwa Allahu ahad.
Yeah.
Allahu samad lam yalid wa lam yulad.
Say God is one, the only, the absolute, the eternal. Yes.
Yep.
So she had some basic knowledge and she knew this is wrong.
Yeah. So immediately she said, I'm not bowing down to anyone except Allah. Like, this is a human being. What can this
human he's be dead alone and he's dead in the grave.
Yeah, like just because he was a quote unquote star, it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. So my wife was like, no.
So this has got to be like a human shaitan. This manager now is—he's like a human because you have the shayateen from the jinn and then the human shaitan. So she's being really tested here. Subhanallah. Yeah. We think of this stuff in the movies or whatnot, real situations that are happening, and we got this in the story here. So this is a human devil telling her to prostrate to the grave of Michael Jackson
and promising riches and pretty much to blow up in the world, like expand, famous. Your name will be known. You'll be somebody. And my wife was like, no, I don't want to do this, but send me the contract.
Yeah,
you know, just because it was business. Right, so she maybe thought he was an odd character, weird character. Yeah. So she goes back to Buffalo. Her brother, pretty much, he was studying law, and when she gets the contract, she was gonna sign it, but the brother said, let me take a look at this first, because this is a legal document. So when the brother looks at the legal document, he goes, you're crazy if you're gonna sign this. And my wife's like, what do you mean? What's wrong with it? My wife didn't have any legal knowledge. It's like, if you look at this, this means that this person owns you, your business, everything that you dictate that you want to do in your business, he's in charge of it. You're crazy if you want to sign this.
So literally, you are signing your
soul away.
Soul away, that's cool. It.
Yeah, yeah. So she gets back on the phone and tells the manager, we're not doing this contract. He starts laughing like a maniac laugh. My wife will never forget it. He was chuckling and laughing like an evil laugh. And he was like, I'm going to send spirits your way. And they will be able to harm you. And I'm going to make sure that they hurt you and your family. My wife was like, you can't do anything. Because that wall you're talking about is Ayatul Kursi.
Mm.
And that protects pretty much from the shaitan. From us being attacked from the shaitan.
It's that's a verse now for from the Quran now.
Yeah, as the Prophet said, if you recite this at night, Allah appoints two angels pretty much to protect you for the whole night until the morning. Mm-hmm. So this is something that the Muslims recite to protect us from the unseen and the traps and deceptions and the target from the shaitan.
And we're encouraged to recite it after every fard prayer, after every prayer five times a day, to recite it. And this is something that just being reminded of this now, the story, really encourages people to recite Ayatul Kursi and
you must your salah and your adhkar.
Yes,
and your adhkar for sure.
Morning, night, and after every salah, yes. So then, okay. So then, what happens next?
So then, next, the guy tries to send the curse to her father, and her father was like, "Yeah, you should go to LA. You should go sign with him." And my wife, that was
who out said of protocol. That?
My wife's father.
Her father.
Yes.
So he's
because again, he no adhkar, wasn't practicing.
Yeah.
And he was saying things that he wouldn't say.
Yeah.
You know, he would be like, "Yeah, you should go, go, sign, do it."
So this is the father now.
Yeah, but my wife's
the,
like,
"What's wrong with you?" But the brother was like, "No way."
No way. Isn't that no way?
So the father's not practicing now.
No, and now he's starting to practice.
Yeah. At the time, he wasn't. So Jahil and giving Jahil advice and almost sold off his daughter. To shaitan.
Basically, but in a sense, it was abnormal, as my wife put it. It's abnormal. He never says this before because he's very protective.
Yes. Protective. I see what you're saying.
It was just abnormal. And it could be because of the shaitan, the whisper, as we all have whispers from the devil.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you should do it. Maybe this will be good for you. Maybe this and that.
Yeah.
So it could be that. Allah knows best.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife ultimately did not sign.
Yeah.
And that's when she got the wake up call to. She got called to do like Lamborghini, to be on a yacht, basically to do things where you're with these models and it's just a bunch of guys on the yacht. And my wife never did any of those things. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. She just knew better to not be around this type of stuff. And ultimately, she just abandoned the industry when she met me because we both were on that same trajectory. Like, we want to get away from this. We don't want fame. We don't want clout. We're looking for peace. Where can we find this peace? Because it's not in money. It's not in property. Where can we find it? What's my true existence, like purpose for my existence?
Now we get the purpose of life. Yes. Now we get to that crucial question that the celebrities, they got all the money, the Kanyes, the Kimberly Kardashian, they have all the money, they got the fame. Do you see them as happy people with peace in their hearts and their lives, contentment?
No, I'll tell you why. Because when I work these events as well, it was sad. Like, some of these mega like rich million billionaires, they can't even have a single family dinner together. Their mom and dad is gone for months on months, and it's the nanny taking care of them. And sometimes even some where I've seen, A'udhu Billah, the mom is doing drugs with her daughter, and they're doing stuff together, pretty much illegal substances. And this is their entertainment. They can't even sit down.
Family members, instead of having dinner, they're having drugs together?
Yeah.
Wow.
Stuff like that, like shrooms. Mm-hmm. You know, having these parties, and they're just there. And that's all it is. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh my God, you guys, like in my head, I'm like, Allahu Akbar, you guys have mansions. You guys have the fancy cars. You live on the side of PCH on Malibu. You live on the cliffs. Like, you have such an amazing view, a beautiful house. But inside, totally destroyed. No family connections.
It's rotten.
Rotting. Wow. And I look at this and I'm like, is this what I want in my life? Is that what's going to make me happy? They can't even have a simple dinner. They can't talk about anything funny. Dad's not there. Mom's not there. There's always trips. A third person party taking care of them. A nanny. I was like, I don't want to be like these people. If that's what that's going to do to me, the money, the fame, and all this, I don't want any of it.
Was there a lot of arrogance around people like this?
Yes. Pompous, looking at you like you're nothing. You're nobody, really. Look at what I have. Look at what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You're irrelevant.
Mm.
It's this kind of attitude.
Yeah.
And I know people of righteousness don't act this way. As we know, like, even having a mustard seed, as the Prophet ﷺ said, even having a mustard seed of kibr, arrogance, you will not be admitted to paradise.
What finally did it for you? So you got to experience all this. So you got to experience the other side, the side that unfortunately many people are striving, as your professor said, you know, and others, the American dream. And they think it's up in the Hollywood Hills around these A-star, B-star, C-star actors and musicians and whatnot. You got to experience all that. You saw that this wasn't something that you really wanted to be a part of. You saw the misery that came with it, even though they had the best views, best houses, everything that money can buy, but still that void, it wasn't filled. They were miserable. And what did it for you that finally you're here and you'd never go back?
There was a lot of things that contributed to it, but most importantly was going to bed at night, was just the emptiness in my heart. Like, okay, I believe in myself, I'll make it. I'll believe in myself, I'll have this. But what comes after that? Where's the peace? Where's the happiness? And then seeing all this filthiness. And I always wanted to be a positive role model in life. If I'm in this industry, how can I be that positive role model? If I'm just, quote unquote, a superhero, the boy next door, whatever role it may be, how is that being a contribution to society? It's the opposite. You're contributing to degrading the society.
Yes.
And you're calling upon things that are forbidden, that are evil, that are disgusting, all for the sheer purposes of the art of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing entertaining about that. You know, there's no companionship and calling to good and forbidding evil. So what did it for me was really seeing these people, the darkness in their face, the I could see
opposite of Noor. You know, we had that light. When you see people, you can literally see light coming out of their face. Like darkness.
Darkness. Just looking in their eyes and just seeing, whether it be tiredness or just, I could see that you're not really happy. Like, it's not.
So that's outside of the 2 hours, whatever amount of time it takes for makeup and lights and cameras, action, and then, you know, glitz and everything, editing and all that other stuff. This is like you're going to see. Now, behind the scenes.
Yeah, and not even that. Look at just, they can't even have a proper relationship. They can't even have privacy or peace. Everyone has to know what they're doing, how many partners they're with, and so on and so forth. And how can someone live a peaceful life like this?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. You really can't. And then the evilness of conning people, cheating people, and lying on TV and screens, like being someone you're not. Like, it dawned upon me, like, if I really was an actor, how can I have a wife, go on TV, touch another woman, kiss, and do the X, Y, and Z on TV, come back home, honey, I still love you. How is that possible?
It's not. It's crazy.
No. It's the opposite. It's, you know, women have jealousy, like a good jealousy, ghira, but like I couldn't fathom coming home and my children are watching this on TV. My family is back at home are watching this. My friends, everything. It's not noble.
Yeah. So, for those that are out there, that you might even get some Hollywood actors watching us right now, and they're depressed. They're like, man, either they can make it or not make it, and they're just miserable. This is kind of like, what advice would you give them to get to where you're at? You know, because instead of investigating all the different religions and everything that's out there, and all the paganism that they were part of at the Kanye West church and that. This way of life that you're upon now, this Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation, what advice would you have them to take a deep look into it, to read the Quran, and to get where you're at, where you finally have that peace and contentment?
Just like Jesus, peace be upon him, and every other prophet, you know, ask the Creator, Allah Almighty, to pretty much guide you and help you in life. Like, what am I really here for?
Mm-hmm.
Did you think we created you just uselessly? Like, as a human being, you have a purpose. Ask yourself, what are you really meant to do here? Why were you created? Like, why do you have the parents that you have? Why do you live the life that you live? You're here for a short amount of time. We all know life is short. So for me, I would say, start by asking the one who made you. And I'm not talking about your parents or your lineage. I'm asking the soul that you have, that Allah gave us, and that we're here for a short amount of time. Ask your Creator, help me and guide me, because that's what I did. I cried and asked for the peace and contentness in my heart. That's all I wanted, and money can never buy that. Whether it be how many women you have, none of these materialistic and you know, pretty much American dream and whatever other dreams you have, that will never satisfy and fulfill you. The human being, I mean, as you look at the animals, they have purpose. Trees have purpose. Everything has a purpose. It would be logical and rational to say the human being has a purpose as well. So I would start by, first of all, asking yourself, are your friends really your friends? Are they calling you to what's good and protecting you from what's evil? Will they really be there for you? And then your works that you're doing, how are you contributing to society? Does it make you a better person, or does it make you a worse person? And it all starts by asking the one who created us, the rule, like, it's the blueprint of life. The Quran is really the blueprint of a human being's life.
Mm-hmm.
Ask your Creator to help you and call upon what's right, forbid what's evil. Start by that. And then once you figure out that truth, call upon that truth, and not only just that, say something, because people in Hollywood don't say something. They want to be a part of it because, oh, it's going to affect my money, it's going to be this, you know, I want to be known, and this, it's this neediness of like, it's okay, I will just ignore that and worry about myself. And it's not just about that, really. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to honestly ask yourself, am I doing the right thing? Am I being a good human being? Entertainment is not it, period. Mm-hmm. That door, no one will convince me, or anyone, period, will convince me entertainment is in some way, shape, or form good for you. Not Hollywood, no. Mm. It's run by evil people, people who call upon the opposite of good. They're pretty much the pawns of Shaitan, as Shaitan's ultimate deception pretty much is to take all the children of Adam to hellfire with them, as he made that promise to Allah. He said, I will command them to change the creation of Allah. I will command them to slit the ears of cattle, and so on and so forth. And that's the ultimate purpose of Shaitan. And Hollywood, they're the puppeteers of that.
They are the puppeteers of that. Yeah. I like this ayah, this verse from the verbatim word of God Almighty Allah, the Quran, changing the creation of Allah. We're seeing this, the 100 and some genders and whatnot, all yes, of this that's happening. And they are the puppeteers. They're the pushers, the propagators of that, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great, great stories you shared. Hopefully you can take some benefit from that. I like the last piece of advice you gave for the people. is ask your creator, the one that Jesus prayed to, the one that Moses prayed to, Abraham, all the prophets called people to pray to and ask for guidance. There's one hadith that I think is very powerful and goes with this, that God Almighty Allah is saying, all my slaves that I created are misguided. All of them. Everyone's misguided. You're misguided. We're all misguided unless I guide you, unless Allah guides you. So ask me of my guidance. Allah is saying, ask me. Ask me. And that's what you did. You asked the creator for guidance. Guide me, guide me, guide me. He guided you. You're here with us. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you very much for sharing all that with us.
Jazakallah khairan.
Amin wa yak. And thank you guys for tuning in. So what's the book? What's the book that he was talking about? The Quran. Where do you get it? Go to thedeanshow.com. We'll get you it sent out for free. And we'll see you next time. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs like this one. And don't forget to seek the guidance from the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. We know there are many benefits to the use of black seed. That's why I use the black seed by Tasneem. And 50% of the profits from your order will go towards establishing the Deen Center, the Masjid and Mega Dawah Center. Use promo code The Deen Show for 15% off.